Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling right along here on Sabres Live. Let's do this Family Feud style. 20 seconds on the clock. Family playing for $10,000. Oh. First question, name something as annoying as Brad Marchand.
Matt Cook? Is Matt Cook on the board? Yes, number one answer. We've only surveyed one person, and it is me.
It didn't need to be a player. I was thinking like random species, you know, insects.
A wood splinter in your finger that has been there for a week, like, yes. And it's on its way out right now. Like the body's like kind of pushing it out. Yes.
Right. I mean, for everything that changes with the Bruins, the constant now has been an incredibly gifted scoring winger named Brad Marchand, and he continues. He's now got new teammates in the form of Zadorov and Lindholm, to name just a couple. The Bruins have made the playoffs 8 straight years. They last missed in back-to-back years in both 14-15 and 15-16. What are you expecting from the Bruins this year?
Okay. Well, the Bruins went from 135 to 109 last year, and 2 years ago to last year in points. It was a minus 26 in points. I don't think they're dropping 26 again, but I think they will drop another handful or more of points this season. Brad Marchand went from 80 points 3 years ago to 67 and 67 the last 2 years. I don't know that he's, you know, at that 80.
How many goals did he score?
29 last year. Yeah. And he scored 21 2 years ago. But they go with David Pastrnak, who had 110 points and 47 goals, to the second leading scorer on the team, 67. There's a 43-point difference right there, right, between Pastrnak and Marchand. So I think there's a big drop-off. I don't love Boston's forward group this year, especially if Marchand can get 80, 85, 90 points. I think it's basically Lindholm, new addition, Pastrnak, hoping he gets to 50 and 100-plus points again, but I'm not big on their forward group. I think they got a great group of defense, and they got a great goaltending duo, especially Swayman in net. Korpisalo is going to be okay as a backup. So that's what Boston is. I think Boston takes a step back this year. Maybe it's 98, 99 points. Maybe it's another 10 points they lose. Does that make him a playoff team? Probably with that, but I'm not fearful of their forward group. I think their defense and their goaltending is going to be the key.
Why do you think they're going to take another step back? Like, does it have anything to do with what they've lost, or is it just, you know, a little bit more? Like, here's the funny thing. We won't know this. I mean, yes, there are outlets to give you like exact, there's nothing precise, let's just say. There are many sites you can go to right now to see roughly what the age of a team is.
Yeah.
One that I just chose before the show shows the current Boston roster average age to be 27. That same site shows Buffalo at age 26. That's not a very big gap between these two, right? Yeah. Like, and whether that expands once it gets funneled down and AHL players, you know, move off of that roster, let's say, I could easily see it being 28 and 26 or 28 and 25 and a half. The point is the Bruins aren't the oldest team, but they have lost some pieces. So to me, something is causing you to have concerns here about the Bruins.
Yeah, what is? I think that the additions and subtraction this year, I feel, are going to make him take a step back. Look, losing Bergeron and Krejci 2 years ago was going to have
an impact. Affect them, really.
Well, they went from 135 to 109. It affected.
Yeah, but they still got, they went further.
Yes, you're right, because they were able to get past the first round and and not lose to Florida and, you know, being up 3-1 and losing in 7 in OT like they did 2 years ago. But I think Allmark was a big part of their identity. Swayman, okay. Allmark, and Knapp. You lose Allmark, it puts a lot on Swayman. I still think he can do it, but it's a big change. Now, having Swayman as your number one as opposed to having, you know, a Vezina Trophy winning goaltender as your backup literally this year or 1A, 1B. Jake DeBrusk, losing Jake DeBrusk. I feel like DeBrusk was a utility, you know, knife for them, played a lot of different parts and brought some impact to their team. Losing DeBrusk, losing
Greslick. Don't look at it.
I know, Matt Greslick. That makes a big difference. Losing Denton Heinen. I like Denton Heinen, and I thought he was a good player for them. I think they lost so much in their roster that was the roster that was dominant for the last few years that, yeah, they had Elias Lindholm. They had Nikita Zadorov. Great. That's two really good players. I don't think it's going to make up for what they lost inside that locker room.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they winning the division?
No, they're not winning the division. That I can guarantee you. Yes, that's a full-on guarantee. That. Charles Barkley guarantee of Boston's not winning the division. I don't see them winning the division. I think.
Don't tell me who, because that could ruin some of our other team previews if you tell me who's going to win the division.
No, I'm not going to tell you who's going to win the division, but I can tell you if Boston gets in this year, which they won the division 2 years ago, and last year they were second, a point behind Florida. I think if Boston gets in the playoffs this year, it's a wild card team. It's not the top three in the Atlantic Division.
Okay. Did you have a question for me, Marty?
Yeah. Sabres went 1-2 against Boston this year. They won in Boston, lost both in Buffalo. Who was the leading goal scorer and point getters for the Buffalo Sabres in 3 games against the Boston Bruins last year?
I'm going to say Rasmus Dahlin.
You have the right nationality. Wrong player.
Victor Olofsson.
It's Victor Olofsson. Victor Olofsson scored 3 goals in 3 games. A 2-goal game and then another one. Didn't score in the last one, but it was Victor Olofsson that led all Sabres in goals and points against Boston last year. Well, that's not good. The biggest impact of playing Boston last year, that was the first game against Boston, was the game Tage Thompson got hurt. Blocked that Charlie McAvoy shot, right? He actually got hurt a little earlier in the game where he tangled feet with McAvoy. Remember, we thought, hey, did he get cut? Because he looked like he was lower body something. And then he blocked that shot and missed 3 weeks with the hand, which was maybe the biggest impact of playing Boston this year was the loss of Tage Thompson.
Will Beck Malenstein drop the gloves against any Boston Bruin?
Do I think it will happen? Yeah, I think there's going to be a little fighting happening this year because I think Buffalo's going to compete against Boston this year. I think there's going to be that bottom six that's going to really play that style of game, and Lindy's going to push for it a little bit. Is it going to be Beck Malenstein? I don't know.
He has 2 fights on his NHL card, according to hockeyfights.com.
Are they both against Boston?
No, one against Harkins with Pittsburgh and Brendan Lemieux when he was with the Kings.
Okay.
So all the more reason to love Beck Malenstein. The fact that he had enough
of Lemieux.
Of Brendan Lemieux.
Yeah. I don't think Marchand would fight Jack Mellenstein, but you never know. I think that what I'm looking forward to see this year is obviously another year of Dalene kind of had that back and forth with Marchand.
He's always had it. Like it, Rasmus,
but he's,
to me,
he's really
always
stepped up to that.
No, I know. But I think what could have gotten easily lost in Dalene's earliest years, you know, was what it was more. I think you could just look at it as team performance against the Bruins. I always felt like Rasmus was willing to stand up for himself against Marchand and others. And you're right. Like, I think that has grown exponentially, but now it needs to be, there can't be any kind of dots in the lineup where it doesn't connect. Right. Like that type of, and for whatever it's worth. Right. And every person's going to give you a different opinion on how much this aspect of the game is worth. But like, I think that's exactly why we've been spending most of this offseason talking about depth at both forward and defense positions, because they need people that are not going to be disconnected from anything that they're hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, and I look at the bottom six for the Sabres. I say I'd put them against the bottom six from the Boston Bruins this year and hope that they dominate them, because I think on papers, you know, that it is Ryan McLeod and Greenway and Benson and Mellenstein, Lafferty, Obi, Kubel, Krebs, or whatever, like your bottom six, going against Trent Frederick, Matthew Poitras, Justin Brazeau, Max Jones, who came over from Anaheim, Beecher, and Kastelic. I'm like, okay, I think our bottom six would win that battle against the Boston Bruins bottom six.
Yes, well, Kastelic's offensive output against Buffalo last year
puts
an extraordinary amount of pressure on the Sabres' bottom six to do likewise against other opponents.
How the heck did he get that
twice?
Kind of production
annoying.
Twice. New Year's
and
Eve
then
in
gets
Ottawa
waved,
and
right?
then once or, in Buffalo. Whatever. Yeah, exactly. that was brutal. No, there's a few like interesting thing though. When you look at Boston last season, Levi started all three games against the Boston Bruins. Wow. He got pulled in one. It was 5-0 that game that Thompson got hurt. That was
Lukanen
the first
never started a game against the Monsters.
Not against the Boston Bruins. It was Levi all.
What's
three
his career
games.
Against Boston? He's actually had some really good moments. I know he's had some 40+ save games against them.
Yeah. I don't know. And then Allmark
okay.
started
I'll
the first two,
here.
And then Swayman played the third one. But Levi played all three of them. I think the one in Boston was like, hey, let's get Devon Levi back in the Garden, where he had success with Northeastern and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's the game that he won, right? Page had played the wing the game in Boston because he was coming back from the hand injury, played with Mittelstadt and Skinner. Tuck wasn't in the lineup for a couple of those games. But yeah, I mean, the start of those games were important, obviously. That was not a good thing last year. The Sabres had horrible starts. The first period was not good, and it made a big difference.
You know, it was funny. the reason there's such a vivid image for me of Lukanen against the Bruins, when he came in the 2021 season, he played the Bruins three times out of the four games that he played.
Yeah.
He got a win in his first ever game. And this is actually, there's some irony dripping in the two. He stopped 36 out of 40 as they hung on to win. And unless I was misremembering what you guys were talking about before the show, did you say that today is an anniversary of Ristolainen being traded?
Yeah.
Because Risto had a really crappy
ago,
end
Risto
to that
got
game.
Traded.
Really, yeah. Risto had a terrible end to that game against Boston, as did Lukanen, and like this big lead shrunk, and it was like, oh, don't blow his first game, and they ended up hanging on to win, but he ended up, you know, having other games against the Bruins that year, you know.
Lukanen's numbers against the Bruins are rough. He
no,
did
but
good
he's
last
2-4-1. Yeah, but it comes down to wins and losses when it's a small sample size and less about the numbers, and 2-4-1. Meaning earning points in three of the seven games against Boston, would actually put him in really good company among Sabre netminders in the last decade.
Yeah, I'd be part of that. I never played well against the Bruins. But that, when he came in relief of Levi last year in the first game, which was in November, it was 5-0, and he was really good. He shut the door after that, which, you know, whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah. In Rochester, they would call that.
Do your job. You come in, do your job, stop the puck.
Garbage plate time, I think, is what that would be called.
I like that. Garbage plate time.
Okay, open house. It's coming up July 27th, not to Marty's new chicken run, nor to my abode, but for you to get into the arena and check out what is available as far as full and half and quarter season seat locations. So July 27th, open house. You can learn more about member benefits, exclusive perks, check out some unique merchandise, game used equipment for purchase while supplies last. It's all out there at sabres.com/openhouse. We encourage you to check that out. We'll come back with a little bit more after this. If you missed it off the top today, the Sabres got Beck Malenstein signed on a 2-year deal at $1.35 million per. Back after this on Sabres Live.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.